The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. To find more podcasts like this, please check out professionalcasual.com. The Professional Casual Network has gear. Check out teespring.com/store/professionalcasual for fresh new swag. A huge shout out to our sponsor, BeardedDragonGames.online. Pick up all your local game store goodness from Magic the Gathering, Dungeons & Dragons, Pathfinder, or WFURP 4th Edition, as well as terrain, paints, board games, comics, and more. Make sure to use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout for free domestic shipping or PCME10 for 10% off your total order at BeardedDragonGames.online. Also, a special thanks to Built Bar for sponsoring the show. To get 10% off your order and to help support the show, use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout or use the link in the show notes.
The story you're about to hear was written by Dr. D of Arachne and voiced by him and his pals. Nothing in these stories is to be considered canon by Corvus Belli and does not reflect anyone's personal views. It is a story written for the lulz. Now that that's out of the way, it's time for a tale from the always incredible. Everybody out there has probably gone and heard of little old me, Calamity Jack. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to tune in and listen to my memoirs like this. I even hired one of them fancy editors to make me sound even more heroic.
I have it on good authority that Jack does not actually listen to this show, so I will be sure to keep the record straight on whatever he says. He's a good guy and all, but a little prone to exaggeration. You have my word, dear listener. I will keep him on the straight and narrow.
So many of you guys have asked me where I came from and how I got to be here. I decided that since I wanted to hang my spurs up, I'd do a little show here to keep the legend alive and, you know, tell you how my life is going and such. So I gone done figured that I'd tell you all about the first job I ever took on this very first episode. It was one of them simple jobs that just involved going in and getting some people to not be where they should be no more. No one needed to get hurt, and maybe it only cost me a few bullets. I was just thinking I'd be firing some warning shots, if only I knew what I was going to be getting myself into. There I was, fresh-eyed and bushy-tailed, walking off the shuttle on Neo Terra. I was told by some company called So-and-So.
The name of the company was, in fact, Adonis Aesthetics. They were promising him a year's supply of their new protein powder in exchange for the job, since Jack was forcing some stipulations into the job.
And they was paying me a whole heap load of money since they saw the promise of such a fine young man. I think that they was real curious about a true red, white, and blue Americano trying to come out into the stars and find his way.
It's a common misconception that Jack is from Eridania, from the town of Roosevelt. He's actually a nomad, but I don't want to ruin the story for later.
And well, after I fleeced him for all they had, I went on my way to get the job done. I was quite the striking figure at the time, 18 and thin as a rail, hungry eyes, looking for work that would put the name on the billboards. I wanted my family to be real proud of me, no matter where they was, since they'd be seeing me on the big screen.
That was surprisingly accurate, given everything that I've seen.
I had my duster, and I had my holstered pistols. I loved the classics ever since I was a kid, and I knew that if I wanted my name to actually be a live-action show called The Adventures of Calamity Jack, well, we all know how that went, so I ain't gonna talk about it here. I just spent the last of my working stiff money on one of them fancy floating cameras that can record all the fun things I was about to be getting into on those shows on Maya and Arachne. I was playing with it on my way over to where I was going while I was sitting there in that fancy shuttle on Neo Terra. I needed to keep focused in some damn Pan-Oceano cities. While they be mighty pretty, they get mighty confusing if you ain't paying attention. There's like a miracle from some fantasy book, some dime novel that you might be seeing on the internet and all that stuff. I knew I needed to keep my head in the game. I admit that figuring out that camera was tricky at first, but I managed to pick it on up pretty easy. Like, I'm a pretty smart man. It had a low-level optical displacement tech that'd make it hard to see to anybody that might be interested in harming me. some of that fancy, expensive tech. You know what I'm talking about. Anyways, when I got up and I got to moving from that train, I walked into the part of town the locals be calling a Teca Hotel. Now, from what I knew back then, A-Techs were people who just didn't want to catch up with the times and were pretty much just a bunch of hooligans. I learned over the years that it might be a little more complicated than that, but that's a story for another time. Roads here was much less well taken care of, and I might be wrong in my recollecting that my boots were going to get mighty dirty walking through this part of Neoterra. I figured it wouldn't be much different than the other parts of this fancy city, but man, oh man, it was like one of them yin and yang kind of situations. Well, I managed to find that building I was told to come on, and I got to figuring I might as well walk up and get to knocking. And I realized that the door was all boarded up. A quick little gander around on that thing called Maya told me that the building was condemned due to the foundations starting to give out or some such. What was making this more interesting was the fact that this building was suspended over one of them plates that was pressed along one of the walls on the nicer parts of the city. It was part of one of them old attempts to integrate them A-Techs into the city proper, but it dried up from a lack of funding and some protests from A-Tech Out organizations got to making a big old fuss so they went and stopped the money or some such. Again, at the time, I didn't know squat about all that stuff going on, but I did know that I needed to make sure the building was empty and keep it that way until the sale went through later that day if I was going to be getting paid. So I went about to putting my britches up, and I'm going to figure my way out inside this building here. It took me a good old 20 minutes and some cussing, but I did find myself an open window. It was looking mighty well-traveled as well, according to them gubbins lying around that open window. I knew I should be expecting something when I got in there. Usually when you come around these empty buildings, if you find a bunch of gubbins lying around, that means somebody's around and they might be up to some no good deeding. I took out old Horseshoe, that was the name of that fancy camera that I was talking about earlier, Horseshoe, and I told it to follow. Just as I was about to check the video feed of my fancy little wrist gadget, I heard someone crawling out of that there window. So I quickly just turned on that visual displacement thingamajiggin and I put my hand on my trusty eye, and out crawled a man who looked like he was more accustomed to the bottom of a bottle than anything else. His disheveled head and dirty clothes telling me that he wasn't used to too much of that working. I was so quick, I managed to get out of his sight, and I got to reckon he didn't even catch a sniff of me. As just as he about to be walking away, I said to him, "What you doing there, amigo?" It took all I had to stop myself from laughing as he almost jumped out of his skin from that scare that I gave him. He got to telling me that he was staying here temporarily until he could get his life back in order. I got to letting him know that I came here with a little friend of my own there on the side of my hip, and he started turning real yellow. He just kept telling me that he ain't got nothing to do with what's going on in there. I told him to start going on and get. He should be looking for a new place to rest his head tonight. And then he went off and scampered off.
The man in question was found to be a local informant for the Submudono Mafia, Iron Eagle Gang, that was trying to take over that part of town. He was later caught by the O-12 authorities in the area, trying to blow up a local O-12 patrol. Luckily, authorities were able to disarm and catch him. Come to find out, being drunk on the job does not look good on your resume.
After he ran off, I got to crawling in myself. This being my first job and all, I didn't know quite what to expect, but I'll always remember how dark that place was. I was still inexperienced back then, so I didn't bring a real light with me. I remember feeling mighty spooked when I started hearing the creaking of the wooden floor all around me as people were walking around that joint. It looked like the main source of light in that place was the drums or some such, these hobos, as I hear from back in the day, for making them fires and such. I figured that'd be mighty dangerous, but who was I to say? That seemed to be a mighty, mighty dangerous place, and I wasn't here to tell them that I was the fire marshal. I do remember how creaky that floor was feeling. It was clear that this place was not built to last, and I got to thinking that my feet would go through one of these floorboards if I put my foot down too sternly. I eventually found the stairs that'd be heading upstairs where I heard most of that commotion, but I figured I'd be walking around and check out the bottom floor before I started going up there. To my surprise, I found a room that looked like they were making some kind of powder, and they had a bunch of pistols and weapons lying around the room and all.
Jack is from Bakunin. I guarantee he's seen this powder before.
After seeing so many weapons, I got to thinking it might be better to have my weapons in hand. I pulled out old Spittoon. That was the name of one of my guns, Spittoon. And I started making my way back down to them stairs. Lost in my thoughts as I was, I didn't even see that man coming down them stairs, coming straight at me. "Who the hell are you?" he says to me. I gave him my best steely look, and before I could say anything, he pulls out his iron and he shoots. I dived out of the way and got to praying that it doesn't go too badly. The gunshot would have woke up all of purgatory if it was any louder. I started hearing shouts and footsteps from the floor above me. My friends started shouting and come running where I dived. Blind fool must have figured I was unarmed. Whoever he was, he wasn't too experienced. As he came running around that corner, he should have been expecting somebody would be packing their own iron. I rolled on over as best I could and pointed my gun at the door and praying that he had a change of heart before he came around that corner. As he rounded it, I could clearly see that his eyes saw that peacemaker pointed right at him, and he knew that his life was in my hands. I admit back then a level of hesitation came upon me as I decided that this man would live or die. I knew that from what I'd already seen from this man, he wasn't going to be going to Bible school after he took care of me, but he was a person, and I wasn't no cold-blooded killer. The bloodshot eyes of this man told me he was some kind of junkie, just trying to figure his life out. Who was I to decide if he got to keep trying to figure it out, or is this where his chapter was going to come to a close? Well, that moment seemed to be stretching on for hours, but it couldn't have been more than a single second. Eventually, he roared out something I couldn't hear, and he started to point his pistol straight at me. I admit, dear listener, that I needed to do what needed to be done. I fired, and I put a piece of lead between his eyes. I ain't never done that in my life, and I admit, I was amazed at how messy it all turned out. I must have laid there for about a minute or so before I realized that someone was calling out to that man that I just shot in the room. I shook myself out of it and got up off the floor and dusted myself off. I ran to the doorway and pressed my back up against the wall. I heard a subtle mechanical whirl and realized that the camera was still following me. And I must have gotten the whole thing. That whole thing. Man, I started to think that I'd be some kind of hero, but I was down on myself back then. I must say, it didn't feel real good. I wasn't going to be the hero I thought I was going to be. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to watch that part again. I don't even think I registered what that other guy was hollering from the other room, but I knew that this needed to be handled before I could get this job done. And I admit I yelled out to him in as brave a voice I could get, "You best get to running, you're vomiting. I killed your friend, and I'm going to handle all of you if you don't get to get." Well, he went to calling me everything but the son of God. Once the wood around me started exploding with bullet holes, I knew it was time to take care of this. From the amount of lead he was slinging my way, I knew he had some kind of rifle. I didn't even realize I'd grabbed my other iron, Desperado. That's what I named my other gun, Desperado. I backed up from the door, and I waited for a pause in that shooting. I even yelled out, acting like I got hit. Well, that idiot got to laughing, and I heard him drop his magazine on the floor. I started running and dove through the open doorway and started slinging lead down the hallway where I figured he was. Idiot had started walking down the hall to claim his kill. He hit the ground with a couple of new holes in his chest. He got to wailing as I started reloading my shooters. I did my best to tune out his dying since I knew that this was going to be only getting worse. I started walking towards the stairs and realized that the guy that was hollering must have passed out from the pain or being dead or some such. I peeked around the corner looking up the stairs and figured something would be waiting for me up there, knowing that time was of the essence I got to get. And with that in mind, wouldn't you know it, that my foot went right through the gosh darn floorboards and I felt the broken wood bite right into my leg. Oh, man, listener, well, let me tell you, when I fell through that stairs, it must have been so damn loud. All the vomits upstairs must have heard every single bit of it. Well, I got to tugging on my leg, and all I could feel was the wood splintings biting deep into my skin. I admit I got to panicking. I was young back then, and I didn't know that staying calm was the most important part. And you know it, I looked up, and I saw a man with nothing but a denim vest and two bright red eyes looking down at me with some mean-looking shotgun. He started laughing at my plight. I figured it was all over at this point. And then I got to thinking, and an idea came to me, and I started shooting. He started laughing like one of them villains in one of them fancy movies, and he ducked on out of my view. I reached into my coat pocket, and I threw the contents on the floor. It was good thinking on my part to be bringing a concussion grenade with me, just in case anything went too violent. Let's just say I was already one chicken too big for the coop.
That phrase makes zero sense.
Well, that cusser had some real oomph to it as it blasted my legs and all the wood in that staircase to pieces, and down I went into the darkness. I must have passed out from the whole ordeal and woke up about 5 minutes later, I'd guess. It felt strange to be laying in some eerie quiet after feeling like I was in the center of a bomb just a second ago. I made sure I found Desperado and Spittoon. Those are what I named my guns. And I stumbled my way over to the exit of the room that I found myself in. I went to looking around, and there wasn't much in that room other than some debris and some garbage just laying around from who the previous tenants of this area must have been. I must have gone and fell into some kind of basement, a storage room that was emptied out by it at some point when they sold this building. It took me much longer than I'd like to admit to get across that room. My legs were feeling all sorts of not right. I felt like I was on a ship that didn't know where gravity was. As I leaned against the door, I realized that it wasn't very well set on those hinges. And as I got to pondering who built this rickety building, I heard the soft clicking of the camera drone following me. Oh, I was thinking at least some good was going to be coming out of all this. What an adventure I'd already had. And all I'd done was shown up and made a fool of myself. And as I started to feel the blood coming back into my legs, I heard something heavy coming down from what I would be guessing would be the stairs on the other side of this door here. I admit I had a level of panic since whenever it was coming down them stairs sounded like he hadn't had no problems eating his greens as a kid. I braced my, what I could only consider, wet noodles that were my legs and hoped I could summon up the strength to hold this monster back. Thankfully, when that fine gentleman kicked the doors, my legs were not even in position before that door went and fell on top of me. I didn't even have a chance to thank him, because if they were in the right spot, he might have broken my knees. All I remember is that simple-minded fool laughed as he saw me get squished under that door. He propped his foot up on the door and must have thought himself a real big game hunter for hunting me down. I admit a certain level of frustration trying to get out from under that door, and he must have kicked Spittoon and Desperado away from me in the scuffle. After a mighty fine amount of scrambling, I managed to get my hands on my knife and my belt. I hadn't put one in my boot at that point in my career since I was still a learning type, and I jammed that sucker right into that buffoon's leg. As he got to howling, I crawled out from under that door, and I got a good look at this guy. I've seen things in the human sphere, and I gotta say that there's ugly, and then there was this kind of ugly. His ugly mug just stays in my mind every single time I go to sleep at night. He looked like something from a horror sim. One arm bigger than the other and a misshapen face. The black hair just wasn't growing right around that noggin of his, and he just got to gripping the side of his head for dear life. I was looking up at some kind of monster that I admit to a certain level of fear that had entered my mind upon looking at this creature.
Recordings of the O-12 investigation afterwards show that more than fear had taken a hold of Mr. Jack. He was almost detained for ranting and raving when he was asked about the incident.
Well, while I was sitting there admiring this beast, he went to pulling the knife out of his leg and he threw it across the room. As I heard the clang of it hitting the floor, my hands started to realize I should be getting a shoot. So I reached down on the floor and I grabbed old Spittoon and Desperado, and I managed to stick that hog about three times before I managed to cross the room. He came running across the room and he slammed into me with his shoulder. I felt a few of my ribs pop out of place as I slammed into the ground and knew that this was going to get real expensive unless I managed to put this thing down real fast. I scrambled up as fast as I could and leaped out of the way as it came charging at me. It stumbled or slipped on some crap on the floor, and I managed to get a second to pull out old Spittoon and pop him between the eyes. It hit the ground like a sack of wet meat. And I gotta say, I just laid on the floor there for a second to breathe a big old sigh of relief. It had occurred to me that this whole job had gone terribly wrong at this point. I might need to start upping my rates.
Again, this idiot did not have a rate. He got a regimen of protein powder for this entire mess.
After a few seconds, I got to realizing that I was hearing something scuffling while I was thinking about my life. And it occurred to me that the vomit was trying to get back up. Its head snapped up to look at me, and as I live and breathe, I saw its noggin healing and pushing my bullet right out of its head as it clanked down on the floor. I remember to this day what I said when I saw that, and right before I got to running, I looked at him and I said, "Well, shoot." I took off as fast as I could and realized I didn't have any idea where I was going. Once I got to the top of the stairs, I saw a window on the other side of the room. I figured if I was going to take care of this, I might need some help. I got to running as that hellspawn came slamming up those stairs. Once I got to the window, I realized that it overlooked a sheer drop. I guess the builders forgot to put the rest of the supporting structure in this area before they stopped building this damn thing. I heard that creature get to screaming. I turned around and I saw him charging at me full speed. I plugged a hole into his right knee, and luckily that thing started to stumble towards me. Clearly, as it was growing up, he didn't mean to be no dancer. I thought fast, and as I saw him running at me and stumbling after I put a bullet in his knee, I ran at him as fast as I could and slid down, and I kicked with all my might with my legs straight up into his stomach, and I launched him into the air.
I guess it was good. He knew he needed more protein in his diet.
That big lummox didn't know his own girth as his own momentum from my kick was enough to send him out through that window. I never heard nothing so sweet as when I heard him splatter on the ground outside. All the people out there clearly surprised that they had a new friend that came raining from the sky. Once I caught my breath, I ran over to see what my handiwork had managed to do. Wouldn't you know it, that thing still wasn't down for the count. Thankfully, one of them Neoterra auxillas must have responded to all the hooping and hollering we were causing and saw the damn monster bothering the peace. He ran over there to do his job, and that little trash can thing they got following them around just consumed that monster in a bout of flame that would have... Whew, my grandpappy would have been happy to use that in one of his barbecues.
Jack was sort of an orphan, and most likely has no idea who his grandfather is. This is another fib. He Hit the road, Jack.
And thankfully, I managed to put that sucker down. Well, after that, I managed to search the rest of the building and realize that the rest of the people that were here, they must have all got up and got. Turns out the area became some kind of ghost town, and I didn't even get to see them get to running. I got to see evidence that people was in there doing some kind of illegal biomedical research, and I'd walked right into the nest of some submundo gang called the Iron Patriots. Well, let's just say this wouldn't be the last time I'd be running into these bad hombres. But I gotta say, I think I've done enough yapping for today. That's my story, y'all. I've decided that at the end of these stories, I want to tell you the thing I've learned when I went through this whole ordeal that I went through. And impart a little bit of my old wisdom. And today, I gotta say, after that job, all I learned was that you gotta make sure you got a holster big enough for both of your pistols.
That makes zero goddamn.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the other great shows here at the Professional Casual Network. Like what, Danny?
I'll tell you. On Mondays, we've got the Lost Omens podcast, our Pathfinder 2E actual play, hosted by me, playing through the Extinction Curse AP. Also, streaming on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork at 7 p.m. Eastern time, you can check out, oh yeah, The Power Phase, our Marvel Crisis Protocol live battle report show. On Tuesdays, the podcast version of Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol povlog is available. On Wednesdays, alternating releases on the Patreon, we have Settling the Southlands, our homebrew Wolforp actual play, and The Slithering, a Pathfinder 2nd edition actual play. And on Thursdays, live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork, we've got Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol povlog.
You can also check out back episodes of Elite Eight Showdown and the first 39 episodes of the Lost Omens podcast, the first 24 episodes of Settling the Southlands, and the first handful of episodes of The Slithering on the YouTube at youtube.com/theprofessionalcasual.